In this episode of Fictional Hangover, we talk about tight stomachs, stiff legs, and rage in our discussion of After by Anna Todd. Everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series, authors, and voice actors that is full of spoilers. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire, and today we're going to discuss After by Anna Todd.
Standard disclaimer. If you haven't read this book, don't. Please remember that Fictional Hangover is all about spoilers. If you haven't read or listened and don't want to be spoiled, stop listening to us and go read or listen to the book, then come back. Really, don't do it. If you haven't done this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you just like the show so much that you don't care about any of that, which is clear if you continue to listen to this episode, then listen up.
Don't do it.
Oh, man.
Don't do it.
Oh, man. Why did we decide to do this? Why?
Because we're glutton for punishment. We like to, every now and again, we like to torture ourselves. We don't like too much of a good thing. We've had lots of good things lately. October's filled with good.
It's been too good. And is that why we do it on our birthdays?
My God, we're masochistic. However, Hot Pterodactyl Boyfriend, as confusing as it was...
It was good.
It was stupid.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was daft. Let's get through the background info. Let's do the background info and we'll get into our initial thoughts and insights. Throw some info at me.
So I read a Q&A with Anna Todd, the breakout fanfic star who writes everything on her phone. From Recode by Vox, and the interview was done by Liz Gans on October 22nd, 2014. I know you're really active in talking with your fans. Do they influence the story as it's being written? God. Anna replies, I have a lot of twists and shocking things in my story, so I would put a lot of hints in. But when I see in the comments that they were starting to catch on, then I would add something in to throw them off. It was more, I was the creator, and they were really, really involved in it. If they were mad at a certain character, I would make the other character do something, so there would be more equal anger so it wasn't one-sided. Like, what? Okay, so this story started out on Wattpad. And it was written a chapter at a time on Wattpad. One Direction fanfic, yes. And she was writing it a chapter at a time. So does that explain why some of it is, why it's like some stuff just, it's really repetitive and stuff happens out of nowhere and... Like, there was time in between writing each chapter, so she's like, well, have I made them have a fight lately? I don't remember. Let's make
yes.
them have 17
Yes, if that
fights.
Is the question you're asking, the answer is yes. Sorry.
And she wrote it on her phone, and so it's full of typos on Wattpad.
The thing is, we can relate to that, because
when we're writing summaries,
regardless if it goes into our phone notepad or straight into the Google into our Google Drive when we do the summaries, it's full of errors, because it's not conducive to grammar, spelling, punctuation. Do you know what?
What?
She's looking for excuses.
I think she is. She was oddly, in that interview, she was oddly proud of having written this book on her phone.
I mean, I think to be fair, that's kind of like a modern thing, you know, being able to have that technology. You know, you couldn't have done that 10 years ago.
No.
Wrote a novel on your phone. And you can now. You can. And to be fair, if they had a better grasp of the rules to the language, then... It might have been done better, you know, less typos. She's done it on the go, you know. She's been waiting for a friend to meet her in a restaurant or something, and she's wrote a paragraph or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how I like the idea of being reactive to what the fans are doing in that kind of sense.
No.
However, I used to, do you remember those books, you can still get them, where they would create your own story? So you would pick what happens to the character, and if you wanted X to happen, you'd go up on page 93. If you wanted Y to happen,
you'd
go...
Choose Your Own Adventure. I love them.
A Choose Your Own Adventure. And it's kind of like she's hinting that after was a choose your own adventure, except when you wanted it to go a certain way, she would veer off and go in an opposite direction.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to let the fans dictate how you're going to tell the story.
No. Especially as far when as I'm aware, you need to have that story. Opposite of what they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wait.
So we have picked this because it's a bad book. And it's Amanda's birthday. So happy birthday, Amanda. Please have some Colin the Caterpillar cake, as promised.
Thank you.
So happy birthday, Amanda. And we are going to invite everybody to celebrate Amanda's birthday on Friday, the 6th of November, 9 p.m. GMT time.
It's 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain, 3 p.m. Central.
Thank you.
4 p.m. We are going to... Eastern.
Okay, you're getting crazy now. We are going to watch the movie adaptation of After on Netflix. It is a Netflix party. You will need a Netflix account.
Yes.
You will need a PC.
You will need to use Google Chrome on your computer to watch this movie through Teleparty, which used to be called Netflix Party, but it's called Teleparty now, and it's a Chrome extension that you can use to watch Netflix. And now Hulu and Disney Plus and HBO, I think, with your friends. It's a lot of fun. So we're going to invite you to celebrate my birthday and watch this movie with us. Apologies if you're listening to this after the fact.
Yes. But know we that don't. We had fun?
Question mark?
We have never had a bad time watching a movie together, so that's what I'm excited for.
Yes.
And the fact it's so please come along, head over to our Facebook page on the events tab, and you'll notice that the event's there. If you do not have Facebook, drop us an email. It's fictionalhangover@gmail.com or go to our website, fictionalhangover.com, and you can send us a message there, and we will get you the links to everything if you do not have Facebook.
Yes. So we said that this is a bad book.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't really like to just completely put a book in the garbage, but this one has some very bad reviews, just like Hot Terror Doctor Boyfriend had some very, very bad reviews. So
yes,
that's partly how we came across it. Actually.
Actually, you told me.
I've read it now twice.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I read the second one too, but I couldn't make it any farther than that. My soul died. I know.
I feel like I need to have a funeral and post an obituary for your soul, but.
Yeah.
Even doing that, why?
I don't really want to go into it.
Okay, my initial thoughts. You know how much we love the movie Clue?
Yes.
You know how much our number one gif is from Clue, and it's when Mrs. White is going, rage, flames, flames, flames.
Yeah.
That was me all the way through. I have written notes from the majority of the book because I started tweeting about it, and then I thought, I'm going to get kicked off Twitter. So I just started writing notes. However, I did listen to a great big chunk of it when I was like doing a lot of chores and I was driving and I was out about doing, you know, going to the library and things. So I didn't have that ability to like stand. I would still be standing in the city centre typing away angrily on my phone, cracking the screen.
I told you it was bad. I have given it one star on
Goodreads because I cannot give it any less. Now,
I told you. I told you,
you
it was bad.
You did. And the fool that I was said, do I really need to read this? And I don't know if you said, yeah, you probably do. You probably do. So
I know that I'm acting really sad right now because of it.
It's because your soul has withered and died.
It has. It's shriveled up. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this summary without cracking up and just tears are going to come.
Yeah.
Because the writing's not grand. And, you know, we like to write the summaries a little bit in the style of the book we're discussing. So
I started doing a preview read and I had to stop because I felt like it needed to be a bit more natural. My stomach muscles started going funny.
Did your legs straighten?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, are you ready? No. Oh, I'm gonna try not to snort because it's gonna be good.
Oh, there is going to be juice coming out of your nose. It's gonna happen.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great.
It's great.
All right. I'm not gonna make it.
Do you want me to start?
Nope. Tessa Young is getting ready to start her freshman year of college. She and her boyfriend, Noah, who's still in high school, and her mom drive to campus to get her settled in her dorm room. She meets her roommate, Steph, who could not be more different than straight-laced Tessa. Steph is a sophomore with bright red hair, piercings, and tattoos, while Tessa is blonde and khaki from head to toe. What's more boring, beige or khaki? Beige,
yeah.
Khaki? Anyway, Tessa, her mom, and Noah all think Steph and her friends, who are also tattooed and pierced, are not the right kind of people. Her mom even insists that she get a new dorm room immediately, but Tessa declines. Surely her punk rock roommate won't be around much. It's the weekend before classes start, and Tessa plans to stay in their room and sit quietly until classes start on Monday. Steph convinces her to go to a party instead. Tessa thinks Steph might genuinely seem like a good person, despite her eyeliner and her short dresses. They go to a frat party, and obviously Tessa doesn't have a good time. Steph and her friends get super drunk. Someone spills a drink on her, and Steph's friend, Harden, gives her a hard time. He's hunky and British, but tattooed and pierced. So Tessa thinks he's awful. And really, he really is. He really, really, really is.
Accurate.
But also, she can't stop looking at him. He's not nice to her at all, but helps her get Steph to an empty room at the frat house for the night when she passes out.
Tessa vows never to go to a party again after Harden takes her and Steph back to their dorm room the next day. Classes start on Monday and she makes friends with Landon, who is also an English major. He has a girlfriend in his hometown and Tessa immediately wants to be best friends with him. Turns out they have two classes together and Harden is in the second one. Duh, never saw that one coming. Yeah, it's British literature, by the way. He couldn't possibly like literature with all his piercings and tattoos, even though Tessa saw lots of classics in his room at the frat house. It's impossible. Steph convinces Tessa to go to a party again the next weekend and promises they won't stay overnight this time. They play truth or dare, and everyone is stunned that Tessa is a virgin since she and Noah have been together for 2 years. She hasn't talked to him much this week, but they're both super busy. She finally accepts a dare to take a shot of vodka and continues doing it every round. Harden tries to stop her, but she keeps on drinking, then leaves when Harden is dared to kiss her.
Oh.
She calls Noah, who shames her for being drunk, so she hangs up on him and wanders up to Harden's room. They fight for why he doesn't like her. Fight number one.
Tessa gets completely trashed and ends up falling asleep in a room in the frat house, waking up to a guy looming over her. She runs to Harden's room where they make out, which is exactly what you should do right after avoiding being raped. I don't know what else you should do. There's nothing else. She realizes she's cheating on her boyfriend and stops making out with Hardin. And the gaslighting begins. She shambles back to her dorm and is surprised to find Hardin there waiting on her. Then she's even more surprised when Noah and her mother arrive shortly thereafter. Her mother screams at her for spending the night with tattooed people and drinking.
Oh my God.
Hardin surprisingly comes to her defense, at least a little bit, by saying that he just got there. He's dismissed while her mother yells more and then decides they're going to have breakfast. But Tessa, you need to get cleaned up first. You're just not presentable at all at 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm-mm. No, go wash your hair and your face. They eat and go to the mall, and Tessa tries to make out with Noah's cardigan and loafers, but he's embarrassed. Or he probably just wants to do her mom, if we're being honest. Oh, pretty sure that they're doing it in the background.
If they're not, that's my surprise.
Yeah.
The next week at school, Tessa hardly sees Hardin. She finds out from Landon that he and Hardin are practically stepbrothers because Hardin's dad and Landon's mom are in a relationship and live together. Hardin finally shows up again and Tessa yells at him for always being so mean. Then they decide they're going to be friends, which means going to a stream, stripping down to your underwear, getting finger banged, and eating a hamburger. I've been doing friendship wrong. Side note. They make out some more and then hit each other some more, and then Tessa calls Noah and asks him to come see her. He does, and they have a perfectly mediocre evening together. Oh, it's just so khaki or beige, whichever. She tries to grind on him, but he's just not into it because he's thinking about his mom. Then Landon calls, freaking out, and asks Tessa to come to his house. She takes Noah's car, please remember that, leaving him alone in her dorm, and rushes to Landon's house, which is also Hardin's dad's house. Hardin is drunkenly trashing everything because his dad proposed to Landon's mom and they're getting married next month. Landon said Hardin was calling out for her. I enjoyed really that entire paragraph. That was just a joy. That entire paragraph was a joy. That entire part of the book was hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Finger banging and hamburgers, though. I mean, there's no better start to a friendship than that.
Gherkin or no gherkin?
Especially if it's your first finger bang. Oh, probably not your first hamburger, though.
I think she didn't take the gherkin that time, though. She had the hamburger without the pickle. But lots of relish. Hamburger relish.
No ketchup, though. Please, it's important.
No ketchup.
The lack of ketchup is very
Didn't even have mayonnaise. It was quite a dry burger.
Well, it's her first one.
Well, you've got to take things easy when you're having your first burger.
Ease into it. Tessa ends up spending the night with Hardin and enjoys rubbing his length through his boxers. He plans to reciprocate, but makes Tessa say things she's not comfortable saying out loud, embarrassing her and putting a stop to the evening's rompings. She sneaks back to her dorm room the next day and lies to Noah about staying over with Hardin and says her phone died. Then Hardin arrives and Tessa is forced to tell Noah that she's been messing around with Hardin. She feels terrible about it and takes it out on Hardin, telling him he didn't have to be so terrible about it when he's just gonna laugh it off. This relationship clearly means nothing to him, but she's genuinely upset about it. If he even felt half the way she does about him, maybe he'd understand. He's shocked by this, trying to get her to say how she feels, but she just keeps yelling, and then Steph comes home, and Tessa makes Steph make Hardin leave. She hears him say in the hallway that if he ever sees her again, he'll ruin her.
Because apparently, we're living in Georgian England now.
Well, he is.
He's intensely British. He flashes the ankle. The ankle.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Rub my length through my boxers, please. Yeah. My length.
A punch from the Cambridge end, don't you know? Well, obviously that doesn't happen.
Mm.
The ruining
thing. Yet.
Yeah.
Yet. Sorry.
Oh, that word cough came out again.
Yeah, it did.
Steph gives Tessa a makeover, then she and her boyfriend Tristan take Tessa out to dinner at a dive bar. Guess who shows up with a slutty on-again, off-again Molly person on his arm? Bloody Molly.
Oh, Molly.
Insert shot game here. I literally wrote, take a shot every time Molly turns up because it was entertaining me. Everyone underage drinks at the bar except for Tessa and Harden, so he offers to drive her back to her dorm. He ends up coming back later, drunk, and they watch movies and have a sleepover. Like, they tell you, like, have a sleepover.
Aww.
Oh my god. I think do our nails and, like, hair and everything.
Oh my god.
He takes her car shopping the next day, and while they're out, they run into his father, who invites them to dinner. Tessa agrees to go, even if Harden won't. Which is awkward as fuck. I mean, geez, come on.
Why? Yeah, I'll totally come out to dinner with you. Guy I'm finger banging with's dad? Sure.
That's just creepy. But, I mean, she is friends with Landon, so, like, whatever. You know, it's possible to go see him.
Sure. It's fine. It is.
Kind of like turns out Harden's dad, he's the chancellor of the college, which he obviously thought Tessa knew, but you know, he was wrong. So they have dinner, and Harden's dad offers to help Tessa get an internship at a publishing house because she wants to work in publishing and be a writer when she grows up.
She does.
Yeah. Something Harden has mentioned earlier, which sends Harden into a rage. But then Tessa calms him down and they go upstairs where Harden has some sexual dessert. Tessa spends the night, but not in the same room with Harden until he starts having screaming nightmares. She's about to give him a breakfast BJ when Molly calls. Fucking Molly. And he leaves the room. He takes her to her dorm after that. And guess what? They fight.
What?
All the way back.
I am so shocked that they fight.
This is my shock face.
Noah is in Tessa's room when she gets there. Shock! While gathering up Tessa's things from his dad's house, Harden deleted all the calls and texts from Noah on her phone, so she wasn't expecting him to be there.
What a dick.
What a dick. Harden storms up too and tells Tessa he wants more from her. Wants to be more than friends. While Noah stands there in his cardigan. She makes Noah leave and then immediately straddles Harden. But then Steph and their other friends come in and they all go bowling. Except for Tessa. She stays behind. Later, Harden comes to get her, and they go back to his room at the frat house, and he teaches her how to do a blub jub, and then he reciprocates with a lady blub, or a she-j, a beej, and a she-j. He walks her to class the next day, and Landon is super shocked when Harden drops her off with a kiss. Lady blub. Blub jub.
I need a t-shirt now which just lists all of these down the side. Gin. Yeah.
Well, look, okay. I don't want to get too super explicit on this podcast in this episode because I'm afraid we'd get dinged with some sort of rating. So we're using different words.
This is an education in terminology. There will be a test at the end. So, during class, Tessa gets called into the Chancellor's office. Oh, no.
Oh.
Ken, Harden's dad, has set up an interview with his friend at the publishing house. He also invited Tessa to his wedding that weekend. and asks her to convince Han to come.
Doesn't take much.
Surely he will now.
Zing!
You know, now that they're, you know, whatever they are. Harden takes her to her interview the next day after, you know, some more finger banging, and she gets a paid internship and super excited. She'll start next week. They go back to class, but afterward Harden leaves Tessa to go to a party with his friends and doesn't invite her. She goes to his dad's house to bake things with his soon-to-be stepmom and kind of hang out with Landon, but he convinces her to go to the party to see what's up. She walks in on another fucking game of fucking and fucking dare and fucking Molly sitting in Harden's fucking lap. So she drinks a bunch, dare kisses Harden's friend Zed, then dare kisses in a room with him for like 10 minutes. He doesn't try anything with her. You know, he sees that she's drunk, so he's not going to do that, which is...
They didn't even kiss. They just sat in the room together.
Chatted. So,
sat in a room together.
Yeah. I mean, he does ask her out on a date when she's not drunk. So, you know. And when they come back, Harden is pissed as usual, wondering what they talked about because he's a nosy blighter, and follows Tessa out when she calls Landon to pick her up. He gets there soon and Tessa's yelling once again about how she never wants to see Harden again. Broken record at this point. And shockingly, in front of everyone, massive shock, he says he loves her. She doesn't reciprocate, which is a womp womp.
But look, we know how she feels. Because
I super secretly love him because like it's so hot and like look at all those tattoos and that the lip piercing.
His lip piercing. Takes his lip ring into his mouth. That's said a little too often in the book. Takes his lip ring into his mouth.
Just a copy and paste.
So we know that Tessa is secretly in love with Harden because she sleeps in his clothes and in his bed. He's there when she wakes up, but they still currently hate each other, so she leaves. She buys a car and goes on a date with Zed.
Huh?
She's pleased at how nice he is to her. It's what, very
different. No shouting?
Different.
Respect? A conversation?
I don't know what that is.
Does not compute. Beige, but not angry.
Do not understand. They plan on going to the school bonfire together. Tessa has dinner at Harden's dad's again before she goes to the bonfire with Landon and his girlfriend Dakota. Then Harden shows up and is, of course, a dick. Tessa follows Landon and Dakota to the bonfire and meets up with Zed. They go to his house after Harden shows up with yet another girl.
Not Molly, which was...
Not Molly. Different
surprising.
Girl. Different girl this time. Zed kisses Tessa at his apartment, but she says Harden's name and then leaves.
That's awkward and uncomfortable and not cool.
Awkward. So here's the point where she's decided that she loves him, which is perfectly reasonable because he's really such a nice guy.
He's a total catch, man. Like, oh my God.
He is. Man, if I wasn't in a relationship where I was constantly getting yelled at and belittled, I don't know what I would do with myself.
Exactly, you know. What? How do you live without being ridiculed in your relationship?
I don't.
I mean, you know, respect and honesty and communication, it's...
Yeah. So since she's decided that she loves him, she goes looking for him. She goes looking for him at the frat house and at his dad's, but finds him at the bonfire still, having just been beaten up by 3 or 4 guys.
But that was satisfying for them.
Yes. She takes him back to his dad's, where they make up again. She confesses her love, and they finger bang some more. He asks a lot of questions about Zed, and what he says to her, and if they slept together. Seriously, how long were they? Like, it was like.
Yeah, but he, if he isn't, you know, getting his dick wet, he's like shouting at her. That's it. There's two ends of the spectrum.
Whatever. They managed to not fight for a little while, but don't hold your breath. What are we, like 70% through the book? How many more fights are they going to have? We should have been keeping a realistic tally of how many times they got into a fight.
We would have looked like some kind of like inmate in Alcatraz who sentenced there for life and counting the days with that tally.
Yeah, it's 100,000 fights at least.
How many pages are there? And then that's it.
Maybe like get rid of the blank ones, the signature pages at the front and back.
Okay, how many pages it is? And then it's 2/3 of that.
I think that's accurate.
So, okay. So we made
Except
it
Except for there's like 700 pages in this book. How many pages are there? Too many.
Too many. Okay, too so we've made many. It like another, what, like 5%? And they have only fought once. So
oh my gosh.
If you have that in the bingo card, well done.
I am so shocked.
Well, I mean, Tessa does fight with her mom at one point because she showed up one night yelling at Tessa because Noah hasn't spent any time with her lately and she doesn't even know that he broke up and is embarrassed about it. So she leaves, threatening to stop paying for Tessa's dorm. Tessa starts her internship and buys some sexy lingerie on her way back to the dorm. And while there, she found out that Harden used to work there too, but was offered a higher paying job at a different publishing house.
Okay, look.
I think I texted you about this.
Just please don't tell me that 18-year-olds are really choosing manuscripts and editing them, because that's what happens. Tessa gets to read manuscripts and edit them, and that's what Harden does too. And just, is that what happened with this book? No, it wasn't edited at all.
It wasn't 18-year-old who did it.
Seriously. That is not realistic.
And don't forget, he got headhunted to go to the other publishing house.
Right, and he's...
And he dictates his hours and workload.
Yeah. Not at all realistic. It's terrible. We're not done yet.
No, we're not. Because when she gets back to her room, she takes a nap and then Harden shows up. She asks about his job and he gets mad and leaves, but comes back after Tessa goes to sleep and asks her to move in with him.
No, they... stop it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it gets worse or better, whatever. No. And because have sex for the first time.
No.
So not only is he asking, he's declaring love after 5 minutes and lots of finger bangs. Don't forget the finger bangs.
Don't forget about the finger bangs.
He's asked her to move in.
Mm.
After, what, a month?
Maybe two. Tops.
And a push?
Mm-mm. No. Harden visits Tessa at work the next day after some in-the-mirror finger-banging and accuses her of flirting with a coworker that she literally just met.
They literally said hello. Just
hello.
Hello. Hello, co-worker. Hello, co-worker. I hope you are having a perfectly acceptable day. I am, thank you. Goodbye. That was the exchange.
Have you slept with him yet? Have you slept with him yet? Are you sleeping with him now? Did you sleep with him in the elevator on the way
out? Are you being finger banged by him right now?
You're constantly finger banging?
It's because he's got a suit and he doesn't have any tattoos or any piercing.
Oh my god.
That's kind of getting hard, isn't it?
Oh my god.
Isn't it? Yeah. Oh my god. Why don't you have a stupid accent? He's supposed to be British. I can just talk normal.
I'm sorry. But that's how I feel.
What, that he has a stupid American accent, not an actual British.
Did you listen to the audiobook?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was supposed to be British or what, but...
It wasn't an identifiable accent that I know.
I don't think it was anything. Even though he's just accusing Tessa of flirting with her brand new coworker and all of that terribleness, he checks out her office and talks about sexing her up in there on her second day of work. But her boss comes in before he can slam her up against the window. She gets engrossed in the manuscript she's reading and doesn't leave work on time, and you think it's going to be terrible and that Harden will think she's doing her new coworker again, but that actually doesn't happen. I think this is my surprise. that he doesn't get angry, doesn't notice that she was late coming home from work. When Tessa gets back to her dorm, Steph is there crying because she broke up with Tristan over something silly. Tessa convinces her to talk to him and work it out. Hardin gets there then and takes Tessa out to dinner and to the mall to shop for clothes to wear to his dad's wedding that he's actually going to go to like a normal, not terrible person. Let that sink in. But while they're at the mall, they run into an old friend slash enemy, frenemy of Hardin's, Jace, who Hardin seems afraid of. He wants Tessa to stay away from Jace, but that doesn't happen. They fight again because she thinks he's embarrassed of her, but this time he says he just wants her to stay far away from this guy. Oh, so maybe she shouldn't have gotten mad this time. Is it for her benefit that we want to stay away from Jace? No. They decide to stay at the frat house that night instead of the dorm, and on the way there, Tessa agrees to move into an apartment with Hardin off campus.
At the frat house, everyone is surprised that there is a party.
Oh, yes. We are so surprised. This is our surprised face again.
So they plan to go straight to Hardin's room to avoid the party, but Jace is there, and Hardin, seemingly afraid to say no to this guy, agrees to come to the party for a little while, as long as Tessa stays safely in his room. Of course she doesn't do that. Because she thinks that while Hardin is downstairs, he's going to make out with, drumroll please, Molly! Take a shot.
Oh my god.
Come on. Just freaking come on already.
Oh.
So she jumps at the chance to play Suck and Blow.
Even though she doesn't know what it is.
She doesn't know what it is. I know what it is. And I'm old. Come on. So she plays Suck and Blow with Jace and his buddies, even though she was just thinking about how odd it is that all these college people are playing childish kissing games when they're supposed to be adults, and we're all adults here, but we're adults, but we're being children,
yes,
but we're adults, and I can't say adult words. I'm a child.
Nope.
Guess what? Shock of all shocks. Another guy, Dan, purposely loses the game and kisses Tessa. Shock face, please. But then Hardin jerks him away and beats the ever-loving shit out of him for it.
That scene where he is beating the shit out of this guy, they're outside in the backyard at this frat house. And Tessa literally thinks, well, I'm glad we're not over there by the fire pit, because if we were, Hardin would be bashing this guy's head into the rocks and he would literally die.
Yeah, that you're not supposed to be thinking that about your significant other.
No.
If you're thinking that, there's a problem, and they need help with their anger.
Yeah. If you're so afraid of him getting into a fight because he's actually going to kill the guy, it's a red flag. Yeah. So, when the fight is over, Tessa goes back to Hardin's room. He comes in a little later, and they fight about his fight.
Has it gone all a bit Inception with the fights now?
Yes. Yes. They're just folding into each other, and there's fights on top of fights, inside
reality
of fights,
has been
about
augmented.
Fights. Yes.
Whose fight are we in anymore?
No one knows. Hardin tells Tessa to leave, but then follows her out and makes her come back so they can aggressively blub-jub, finger-bang, and regular-bang. He ends up using their sex against her, telling her she's not going to get what she wants unless she obeys him. That is perfectly healthy in all ways.
I mean, you know, there are the dominant submissive relationships, sexual relationships. That's fine. It's perfectly fine. But she's far too young and naive. She doesn't know what's going on.
No. And you know what? She uses the word clit in this paragraph, and I'm pretty sure she doesn't even know what that is.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that a few chapters later, Hardin teaches her about what it is. So how does she know this word, and why is she using it?
Please see background info.
Tessa goes to work the next day, and Hardin shows up later, and they have 18-year-old business office sex.
Dang it, I feel like I've missed out on 18-year-old business office sex. I'm sure you can see that on Pornhub.
You probably can.
Oh my god.
That night, they sign a lease on an apartment. And
Hardin has
her car painted. They shop and buy some apartment things. And as they're bringing in the shopping and Tessa's things from her dorm, she notices the bloody sheets from the first time they had sex in Hardin's trunk. He was supposed to throw them away outside her dorm so no one would see them, but he says he just forgot about it.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was sniffing them.
They have 1,000 more fights. I didn't hear what you said, and I don't know if I want to know what you said.
You really don't, and you can edit that out when it comes to it. Because it's just great. Nasty.
They have 1,000 more fights because Noah texted her. Tessa goes to work the next day. Does she work every day now? I thought that she was going to work like every other day and going to school every other day.
She's 2 days in the office and 3 days in school. And gets paid a ridiculous amount, earns credit towards her degree. I don't know how internships work. It's not something we really have a lot of thing here, but it seems she got an office. That seems odd.
Yes, but I'm pretty sure that in the text, she's working every day.
It seems to be. She never seems to go back to school anymore.
No. And she talks about how she misses going to class with Landon. But
she should be, because she should be at school.
Yeah, I don't know. It's messed up. Something has gone awry here.
Please refer to background information at the top of the show. So, after work, they go shopping for wedding clothes again. And then Hardin says he's going to the library to get some work done.
Please do not use the library to lie.
Yeah. Please it's a do special not use place in town reserved for these people. He doesn't come home that night, or call, or text, or anything the next day. He stumbles in after Tessa gets home and is drunk and has obviously been in another fist fight. Or seven. So Tessa sleeps on the couch and tells him if he can't get his shit together, then she is going to leave. And we all rejoice at this point because finally, she has grown the teeniest, tiniest, littlest of backbone.
It's not going to last. How long will it last? 8 minutes.
Place your bets. So she wakes up in the middle of the night to him having a nightmare, so she goes to him. The next day,
it's over already.
So the next day she might just be going home to shut him up. So the next day he tells her about the nightmares, how his mother was assaulted one night by a bunch of guys his father pissed off at a bar across the street. Which is terrible. Yikes. That's awful. That is awful.
Yeah, yikes.
So they're kind of back on semi-good footing. But guess what?
What?
Noah calls.
Why?
Oh, the ex-boyfriend. So Tessa answers and learns that her mother was contacted by the school about her dorm being paid off since she moved out.
Oh.
And now she's on the way to find her.
Oh, no.
Tessa calls her mom and gives her their new address. Intercepts. Good plan.
Mm.
So they fight when she arrives. Her mother slaps her and tells her she's a whore. Good relationship.
It is. It's really good.
It's healthy. Like all the relationships in this book.
Mm, so
no,
good.
No, sorry. Sorry. Not healthy.
Oh, that's...
Not, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So Hardin steps in after the slap and threatens to call the police. She leaves, telling Tessa she's going to regret this and not come crying to her when he breaks her heart.
Mm.
Surely that won't happen.
Surely
it's not.
We don't
expect that to happen at all.
No,
not,
we don't.
Not this romance for the ages.
No.
Not this fairy tale.
They go to the wedding the next day, and Tessa meets Hardin's grandmother, and they all dance and have a nice time. They, of course, have to sneak away for some banging. But if they're not constantly having sex, then they're yelling at each other. And which is better at a wedding? Hard to say. Hardin invites Tessa to come with him to London for Christmas, and I really, really wish that they would go to the UK and bother you for a while instead of being here bothering me in Washington, because that's where this book takes place. Tessa doesn't know if she should go or not.
No.
You don't want them?
No. No. There can be an incident over the Atlantic with just them two. Just them two.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Hardin's so rich. He's paying for all this stuff all the time. He paid for her dorm. He's paid to paint her car.
He
paid for their apartment. He must get paid so much.
And he's only 18. 19 at best, really.
19, maybe, probably. But whatever. They could rent. They could have a private jet chartered, is where I was going with that. And then I lost my train of thought because I want this book to be over, and it's not over
yet. I'm going to give the pilots and the air stewardess a parachute.
Okay.
I want them to live.
Okay. We can give Hardin and Tessa an inflatable boat, a la Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And if they can survive with that, then they can survive.
But they're not allowed to fight. It's part of the conditions.
Yeah. Okay, so
we've just built a team building exercise, haven't we?
We have.
Relationship building exercise.
So Tessa doesn't know if she should go to London or not. And I have to ask, does she even have a passport? Because those take time to get, and she mentions how she's never been out of the state of Washington.
Yeah.
And he wants her to go to London the next week.
I mean, some people buy a passport just for the identification. It's the easiest form of identification next to a driver's license.
Mm. The next day, Tessa reads a text on Hardin's phone from Jace and tells Hardin about it, which he gets pissed about, even though it only said to call him back. He says he has some things to take care of that day, so he's going out. And Tessa, being the nosy bee that she is, asks him where he's going and what's with Jace and why did he beat up Zed? Oh yeah, because he beat up Zed. Blah, 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 blah. A million more questions. He leaves and she calls Zed to find out what's going on, but he won't tell her anything. Then she finds Steph at that dive bar they all go to. And they talk before Tessa asks her what's going on, and Steph asks her about her new dorm.
What?
What? Her new dorm? Hardin told Steph that Tessa's mom made her switch dorms. But Tessa reveals that they live together, which everyone finds shocking, as you should. Including Molly and Jace, who just walked in with Hardin.
Dub, dub, dub. Molly's here, take a shot. So finally, the shit hits the fan. Hardin tells Tessa that Hardin tells Tessa that she's all thatted, / the rage Carrie tooed her by making a bet that he could take her virginity, and he earned a ton of money doing it. But he says he fell in love with her.
No.
For reals. He used the money on her, painting her car without permission, and putting the down payment on their apartment. Things finally start making sense to Tessa. Why they haven't seen any of his friends lately. Why he's been beating them all up. Why he always makes her leave. Why he kept her bloody sex sheets, not for sniffing. Everything. Everything comes out. She is furious. He apologises, lame, but nothing. Nothing. Then Jace and Molly start bullying her again.
No.
Like the dicks they are. And Tristan stands up for her because she's been through enough. She leaves, but it's snowing outside. And then Zed shows up and offers her a ride that she accepts. She tells him to tell her everything. And now the book is finally over. Woo!
Finally. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
But, dear listener, Amanda, we know this is only the first in a series.
It's the first of five. There's five of them.
Question one. Why is it called what? After?
Because she's a different person after meeting Harden.
She's not a nice person after meeting Harden, then. Harden with his piercings, he's obviously in the satanic cult.
And a bad man would bring it here.
He's got all this tattoo. And he's obviously a bad boy.
Oh my god.
There's laws about getting tattoos in Britain. Like, there is a minimum age. I mean, you can get them, but there's a minimum age.
He lives in the United States.
But it's just so British.
There's also laws about that hair. He's got so many tattoos, and I don't think that he's more than 19. They all have so many tattoos. I was very shocked at how many tattoos they all have. Which, if you have parental permission, you can get a tattoo before the age of 18 in the United States.
Yeah. It might be the same, but I think they might... I don't know what the tattoo laws are. I think it's 18 in this country. Possibly can go down to 16 with parental, but even then, I'm not sure. I know, and I went to college and university with people who were, you know, sleeves of, you know, tattoos everywhere. You know, I have nothing against tattoos at all. I do not assume that because you're tattooed and have piercings, you are automatically in a freaking satanic cult like her mother does.
No, I did not understand her mother. Just
I don't
yikes.
Understand her. The first thing I wrote in my ranty notes was, oh my effing god, Judgy McJudgy from Town McJudgeson, she is the queen of judging, stop frickin' judging.
Like, that seems reasonable.
Straight out the bat, everybody, if they've got a piercing or tattoo, even if it's probably just pierced ears, are instantly bad people and into punk rock, the heavy metal music, blah blah blah. Ugh.
And she judges them so much, like, even based on what they wear.
And it's not even as she gets to know them, she stops doing it. She continuously does it. All the way through, she's judging them by their appearance.
It's terrible. She's a terrible human being. Do you know what? I think we need to take a break before we get into our discussion, before we get too terribly far into it.
By break, do you mean get drunk?
Yes. No, we need to have a break so we can tell everyone to go and join our Patreon or drop us a tip on coffee.
If you go to Patreon, you will get the joy of my notes. I am going to post them on our bonus tier social media page. So, you know, if you want to hear my rant in all the swears and all the caps, you can see it on the Patreon page, but you have to head over to patreon.com/fictionalhangover. Oh, I've just thought, Amanda.
What?
So you know, if you join Patreon and we do a social media shout out for you, which we absolutely love and adore. Thank you, Constance. Thank you, Drew.
We do. We love it so much. Yes.
They were delightful.
If you join our yikes tier or greater, yes. By the way, the that's it tier is just our eternal gratitude or until you stop supporting the show, whichever comes first.
Imagine if somebody says, will you do the shout out in the form of after?
No. Can I draw tattoos on? Can I be Harden? I don't care that you're British. Can I be Harden?
You can be Harden if I can be Tessa, because all I'll do is cry.
Yes. Okay. Deal. George. Deal. Deal. So everyone go and support us on Patreon or drop us a tip on coffee, please.
To go and buy beers and coffee.
You do.
No makeup.
No.
Be negative.
Only in extreme circumstances are you allowed to wear makeup. Please buy a wool dress with full sleeves that goes down past your knees.
Well, it's going to go past my ankles, because if I flash my ankles, then I'm a harlot.
That's true. That's true. You are. Okay. Yikes. So we're back now. Let's talk more about this terrible, terrible, terrible book. Do you remember you made me make a list of five genuinely good things that happen in
this book.
Yes,
I remember. I was having my rant again. My rage. Can you name 5 good things that have happened in the book? And I didn't think you could do it.
And I didn't. I only got to 4. My 4 good things about this book is that Landon isn't a trash bag. He is a good friend. The stepmom baking and gardening, while literally awkward as fuck, was nice. Tessa goes to a library? Once or twice, I think? So that's a thing? And I like hamburgers, and those are mentioned. That's all I could come up with. That is literally all I could come up with. There's nothing else. There's nothing else good about this book. I don't even understand. It's like 50 Shades of Grey, but worse. If that's possible.
It was really... It kept annoying... one of the many things that kept annoying me... Okay. You know from the outset, I hate this book.
Yes.
And I don't hate a lot of books.
No.
You know, I can off the top of my head name one other book that I hate, and that's it.
Well, because, you know, we try to find redeeming things about books that are not our favorites. We try. But
and you know what's really vexing for me?
What?
You're the horror reader. I'm the romance reader.
Yes.
You love the blood and gore. I like the kissy, smoochy, sexy bits.
Mm-hmm.
And this was so awkward as fuck.
It was. It was so awkward. It was so, so, so awkward.
It was horrible. I actually stopped at one point, and I'm going to read an excerpt from my notes.
Okay.
It's immature erotica. It's terrible. Why? 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 Quote. Oh, Tessa, I'm going to come. Said deadpan. He said it deadpan. And then she said, I'm one step closer to becoming a woman. Before he repeatedly said, I have never come like that before. And it's
I don't have words.
It's painful. And I have read some proper dodgy stuff. It's on the bookshelf currently behind me, hiding behind books. I have read some really dodgy stuff. And this is such a terrible stereotype. I can't even say that there was any affection within the relationship, within those moments. It was kind of just angry finger banging most of the time.
It really, really was angry finger banging all the time. And it's so awkward, just the descriptions of things. How
she can't even say the word penis, which is an anatomically correct name for it. She can't say it.
And how they mention, like they're actually like having sex at one point. And she mentions how Harden touches her sex. Because I don't think she'd said clit at this point. I don't think that word had entered her vocabulary yet. But, like, it's just so awkward. It's so awkward. And rubbing his length through his boxers. Like, come on.
Do you remember in 10 Things I Hate About You, which is a delightful movie and everybody should watch it because Heath Ledger is just...
Yes.
Do you know the guidance counselor when she's writing her terrible romance novel and she goes, what's another word for a penis? That's right, Brathurst. That's this book. Like that entire scene in 10 Things I Hate About You is this entire book. However, the scene in the movie in 10 Things I Hate About You is delightful, endearing, and funny, and well acted and well written and, you know, good timing. This is terrible. Do you know, we were listening to it because it's a long audio. And
it's 580 something pages long.
And the audiobook is long.
Yeah, it's like 40 hours long.
Yeah. And this is 40 hours long at double speed. And I remember we were listening to it about the same time and you messaged me and said, there's no contractions.
No. Oh, it's so awkward. It is so awkward.
I just, it's what is has been heard cannot be unheard. I could not hear the contractions anymore, and it was driving me insane how unnatural it all sounded. And
I'm sorry that I brought it to your attention.
It's fine. I'm never going to listen to it again. The way the book glorifies toxic relationships, dependency, obvious problems. Harden's got problems. I mean, he says that he, you know, he has the nightmares because of witnessing his mother being beaten up from these men. He needs to go and seek some therapy. He needs guide counselling.
Yeah.
There's mental health issues that are unaddressed. The relationship is just toxic. There's gaslighting constantly. There's no trust. There's no communication. There's no respect. It's just a glorified
punch in the
face. This isn't because it's fanfic, okay? Fanfic is brilliant. Fanfic is wonderful. Fanfic takes what people have written and makes it their own, and in some instances, it's better than the original. So I'm not saying this is bad because it was One Direction fanfic, which makes me cringe because One Direction, but it hasn't changed from being posted on that original site. It hasn't been looked at properly and really drilled down to what it should be to be a published work of fiction. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I'm getting to the stage where I'm just ranting and I'm going to turn into screaming. Just rage scream.
I wonder, how does Harry Styles feel about this? Because Harden is supposed to be Harry Styles, but I feel like I've read on the internet that he's like a decent human being and not whatever this mess is that Harden is. How would you feel about that if that was you?
It gets to a point where it's just physical resemblance. The fact that, you know, he's British with tattoos and piercings. That seems to be about it. And Harry and Harden.
But then there's Zayn is Zed. I don't know One Direction, but I know who these people are just, you know, from being alive at this time that we are alive in history. But also, Zed is Zayn, and Jace is someone. But, like, why? What did these poor, young, popular gentlemen do to deserve this?
Exactly. He's such a flawed, horrible character. You actually think, you're basing it on One Direction, but do you actually like One Direction?
She claims to love One Direction.
Then why would you write this?
I don't know. It's offensive.
I can understand having, you know, Harden being flawed because perfect characters are boring. But he doesn't learn by any of his mistakes. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And I have no interest if he does, like, learn from his mistakes.
Apparently, in the fourth book, which I think wraps up the story, and then there's a prequel, and I'm pretty sure it's literally called Before. But in the last one, which is called After Ever Happy, work that one out. I'm pretty sure they get married, but there's like a time jump. They spend quite a bit of time, like maybe years even, apart from each other. And off page, Harden goes to therapy and becomes a respectable member of society.
I've heard this. Doesn't he write a book about their relationship?
Selling novel about their life.
And he doesn't have her permission to reveal everything, all this intimacy. Yet she still marries him.
And they still get married. Yikes. 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 Can I tell you something else that I didn't like about this book? And I feel sorry. I feel sorry for Tessa because of this. There are many times when awkwardly describing their intimate moments where she talks about having orgasms.
I remember you messaging me this. Cackling for ages.
Feeling them As a tightening in her stomach? And her legs go straight?
She turns into an ironing board.
What is
it's that making even my vein bulge.
That's not normal.
I think she might have need of an operation.
It doesn't make any sense. In your stomach? Look, okay. Also, this is a really awkward conversation for me because I am 100% a prude and I don't like having these conversations like this, which is also partially why there are words like blubjub and fingerbang in the summary, although they weren't actual words used in the book. They didn't.
To be fair, though, they're the words that she would use because she's a complete prude.
Right.
He uses all this filthy language. He said fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, he whispered in your ear that he wants to fuck you. It's so dirty.
Oh my god, all that dirty, filthy language. And when I say it, it's just wrong. Oh my god. Clipped.
Yeah, so I just... this whole conversation is awkward for me because of that. I'm not...
I just find it absolutely flipping hilarious.
It's just... It's so bad.
It's hideous. I hate this book on a visceral level. I just can't. And I've said this to multiple people that coming into this recording, I didn't know if I was going to actually be able to talk about it or just scream because I just don't get it. I do not get it.
No.
I mean, I've read books, romance, but not necessarily YA. I've read adult ones where the relationship has seemed somewhat wrong and could be potentially toxic, but the never to this level, never to, it's never been an instant abusive relationship. There's been issues.
Yikes! This but there's also been terrible.
There's also been communication, and they've never jumped straight into bed and moved in together. Like
within 2 months.
Within two
like,
months.
School probably starts. I know around here, school starts in September.
Yeah,
and the wedding is in December, and it's not yet Christmas because Harden invites her to go home for Christmas. Yeah. So it's not yet Christmas, but it is December, and they've already moved in together. After having just met each other, they've already moved in.
Yeah.
It's astounding how...
Do you know what I kind of liked but didn't like?
What?
The awkward relationship between Nora and her mom. Like, I was convinced that they're actually secretly having a relationship, like her.
Yeah,
it was weird,
especially when her mom finds out that they've broken up, and she says she was embarrassed because she didn't know, but she was upset because she hadn't been talking to Noah. Like her mother had not been having any time with Noah, and that is what she was upset about.
Yeah, she wants to spend time with Noah, not the daughter. She wants Noah, not Tessa, which is understandable.
Yes.
I would take the cardigan-wearing guy over Tessa every day of the week. But yes. it just seems like an odd relationship. And the way Tessa instantly dives into having a relationship with his dad and soon-to-be stepmom, oh, I'm going to go and do some gardening with them and baking lessons. And...
Yeah,
she's desperate
she's
for a parental figure.
Yeah, she is. Because her father left when she was young, drunk, left the family, whatever. And there's a point where Harden is like talking about how she's had everything she's ever wanted, she's gotten.
Yeah.
But that's not true because her mom has had to work very hard and Tessa had to get a job as soon as she could get a job so they could even halfway afford going to college. Like, some of this stuff is mentioned, but it's just, it's clear that there's a terrible relationship between Tessa and her mother. And then for Harden to say things like that just makes it worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where Harden's dad is the chancellor of the college. But he doesn't have a good relationship with his dad because his dad was a drunk and his dad ran out on his mom. And because his dad was a drunk, his mom got assaulted. And now, you know, she lives in London by herself, having to work 100 hours a week just to afford a tiny flat.
Do you know what was the first frat party? When she does a shot of vodka during Truth or Dare.
Mm-hmm.
And she turns to Harden and she's like, well, what's in your cup? And he's like, water, I don't drink. And then after that point, he spends the entire time pretty much drunk.
Yeah.
Does that not send alarm bells to you that maybe that's not healthy? If your dad, like from Tessa's point of view, if your dad was a drunk and caused a lot of problems, why would you get yourself into that relationship?
Was it
a relationship? They did not have a relationship.
No, they didn't.
It was built on nothing. It was built on finger banging and that's it. Who has sex in their office, full stop, but who has sex in their office after 2 days of working there? What kind of internship pays that kind of money, gives them a private office, and basically carte blanche?
None of this is realistic at all.
It's too fictional. Like,
it is.
Saying that, you know, we'll read vampire fiction. We'll read about werewolves. We'll read about dirigibles. We'll read about, you know, people going to different planets and alien races. And it's believable because it has some element of realism.
Yeah.
It's well constructed, well conceived, well written, character driven literature.
No.
This was not well conceived. It was not well written. It was not well produced. It has been let down.
Yeah.
Put out into the world.
They made a movie about it.
And made a movie about it. And do you know what? I noticed on Facebook, on one of the Facebook groups, people somebody put a posting of after and said, what do people think? And, you know, I put a four-word answer or something like that because, you know, if we haven't talked about it on the show yet, I don't like to give my thoughts and feelings out too much.
Yeah.
But I was reading through the comments of the people who did like it because I needed to know. And nobody could fully justify it. They couldn't say what they liked about it. Most of it was, I know it's trash. I know it's triggering in there. I know it's an unhealthy relationship. I know it's gaslighting. Everything we listed as being bad, they've listed. But then they'll just put, but I still enjoy a bit of trash. I mean, it is trash. It is trash. I'll grant them that. But nobody could explain to me why they like it so much. So if you have managed to stick with us this far and listen to us berate this book, but you love this book, tell me why.
Please, please tell us why. We want to know actual reasons, not just that you like a racy sex scene every other page, because that
didn't happen begins in these to happen. Books. They were awkward.
Yeah, but still.
I can give you some really good recommendations for some decent racy sex scenes, if you want. You will have to move out of YA, but I can give you some recs.
But even in YA... there are some better sexual relationships.
There is.
Even though that's not my thing at all, there are books where it exists and it is better written than this. Can we move on to something more fun?
Yeah.
Please? We didn't talk about surprises or favorite characters. Do we need to talk about those things?
Favorite character, they all sucked. Landon the Push.
The secretary at the publishing house that was also doing her boss? She was okay.
Yeah, but the relationship was known, so it was fine. It wasn't as if it was something super
That's
secret.
True. That's true. So she was okay. And she convinced Tessa at one point to have a backbone. So she was okay. I liked her.
Yeah, she was nice. Surprises? Yeah.
Just that Tessa used the word clit because it doesn't fit in with the rest of her character. As if I'm trying to rationalize it and make it make sense. I don't know. Also, there are no fucking attractions, and that was terrible.
Yeah.
But that's... So, is that a surprise? I don't know.
I don't know. I was surprised how long it was.
Oh my gosh. And that there's four more of them.
The time.
Please let it be time. Please. Time. Please time. Let it be time. Please, I need it. I need it to be entertaining. I need it to be fun because, you know, I thought that this was going to be a good discussion, but we just, it just.
I'm just looking in your eyes constantly and going.
Yeah. So let's play Would You Rather.
Birthday. So, we asked on social media. Instagram and Twitter stays the same. But remember, with Facebook, if you want to partake in our Would You Rather poll, which we actively encourage you to do, you need to head over to our Would You Rather Facebook group. You can't vote unless you are a member. So you need to head on over. Now, you will not be spammed. You will have some archive Would You Rathers posted on there. We are not closing them down. They're all open, so you can just join in as you want because it's a bit of fun. And we will post some new ones every now and again and some old ones as well. So join, please.
Yes, please.
So the results for the question, would you rather play Truth or Dare or Suck and Blow, are Facebook, 50-50.
Wow.
Yeah. Instagram, 53% for Truth or Dare and 47% for Suck and Blow. And on Twitter, nobody is playing Truth or Dare. It's 100% Suck and Blow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by that. Twitter's normally 50-50.
Twitter is, but there's literally no votes for Truth or Dare.
So shocking.
They just like the Suck and Blow, which is pretty on brand for Twitter.
Yeah.
So Maggie on Facebook says Suck and Blow because it's less intimidating than having to reveal an embarrassing truth or do an embarrassing dare.
Coral on Facebook said, I never played Suck and Blow, so let's give it a try. Me too. I've never played it either. I mean, I don't have any desire to play it, but
no.
Yeah, I've never played it.
No. Constance on Facebook said Suck and Blow brings me memories of Clueless and middle school for me.
Middle school.
Constance, man.
Whew. Jennifer on Facebook said Truth or Dare. I have zero social skills, but with a silent childhood, I was able to discover a little about myself and the person asking the question if it was truth. If it was dare, I could do something rebellious with almost no recourse. Ooh. That's fun. That's fun if that's what you're getting out of playing Truth or Dare.
Yeah, yeah. Colin on Facebook says, Suck and Blow because it sounds like more fun than it actually is. Plus, it means I don't have to reveal my deepest, darkest secrets.
Mm. Steph Inc. Creations on Instagram said, Truth or Dare for me. It might be old school, but it can be less embarrassing. I feel like bad breath, spit, germs, etc. would be heavy hitters in Suck and Blow, especially in a world of COVID.
Oh, man.
Aww.
Novel Universe Pod on Instagram said, Suck and Blow because I'm too chicken to do dares. Thank you for your honesty.
Yes. And our Skedge on Instagram said, Truth or Dare, because everyone needs a bit of excitement sometimes, especially with COVID-19 going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we can safely assume we've both played Truth or Dare.
Yes.
I had a very revealing game of Truth or Dare once. Basically, a friend came out. That was their opportunity to come out. And everybody was like, what?
Well, and that's cute.
It was more... It wasn't the fact that they came out gay. It was that we finally knew because we'd been wondering for a long time. They were very asexual about everything, but we knew there was a definite direction. We just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
And then it was that confirmation. Where, oh, thank God we know.
I don't think I've ever had anything interesting happen.
That was one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never have I... Was it Never Have I Never?
No, Never Have I Ever?
Never Have I Ever. Game? I've had quite a few games of that that's been interesting. That's a much more adult game as well than Truth or Dare or Suck and Blow.
Unless you're playing the Truth or Dare from the terrible slash fantastic horror movie, the Blumhouse version of Truth or Dare. There is another version that came out roundabouts the same time, and it's almost the exact same movie. But the Blumhouse version of Truth or Dare has the creepy face. Which, if you know what we're talking about, the creepy face.
Go to Instagram. It's the picture that we used.
Yeah. That's not a good game of Truth or Dare, because you pretty much die.
Yeah.
I don't want to play that version of Truth or Dare.
No. I mean, to be fair, in the book, most of the dares were kissing, which is just suck and blow by another name.
Yeah.
Or shots.
Drinking. Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, dares are really, like, meh, especially when you start getting a lot of alcohol down you. It's not much you can do.
No, there's really not.
The only Truth or Dare game I think that's ever been interesting is the one from the Night Circus, when Bailey was dared to go into the Night Circus.
That was a good game of Truth or Dare, yeah.
That was a good book.
It was a good book. You know, what I thought of earlier when you said Never Have I Ever, they played Never Have I Ever in Truly Devious, and we find out Never Have I Ever murdered someone.
Yes.
So what do you say? Are you playing Truth or Dare, or are you playing Suck and Blow?
Probably Truth or Dare, because, you know, as much as I can appreciate Suck and Blow in context of Clueless, which is the only game of Suck and Blow I can pluck out from my little mind.
Roll it with the homies.
Probably Truth or Dare, because it's easier. Especially if it's in the world of After, because the truths that come out, like the ask, are ridiculously simple and juvenile,
yes,
and the dares are ridiculously easy, and it means I can take a shot and try and get so inebriated that what's going on around me is a hazy mess and I don't have to put up with them.
Yeah. See, I'm gonna go with Suck and Blow just because I've never played it before. Not, I don't want to, but I've never played it, so I might as well if I have the option.
I feel like I've tried it with the husband, like, just got a playing card and just tested the logistics of it,
mm-hmm.
but not played it as a proper drunken game.
Yeah,
I can think of much more interesting. I can think of much more interesting drinking games to play than those.
Next question: would you rather make out with Hardin's lip ring or Noah's cardigan?
Oh, why do I instantly think hairball if you've got Noah's cardigan? I'm going to say Noah's cardigan because Hardin just pisses me off.
But it's not even Hardin, it's just his lip ring.
The entire thing just pisses me off.
Yeah.
Would it be Noah's cardigan or would it be Noah's wet blanket? Because
he is a wet blanket. But how many times did they mention Noah wearing a cardigan? Oh, and even, sorry. Like, there was one time in the book that maybe I half chuckle was when Hardin was leaving Tess's bedroom and comments how nice Noah's cardigan is as he walks out of the room. Like, that was like a kind of a...
Are you sure it wasn't a burp?
Could have been.
Acid reflux.
Could have been. It could have been just vomit in my mouth.
Probably.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah, I'm going to go Noah's cardigan just because I can't stand Hardin. Can't stand him. Yeah. I don't want any association with him.
I'm going to go with the lip ring. When I was in college,
ooh,
my husband had a lip ring.
Ooh.
Yeah, we weren't married then while we were in college, but he had a lip ring then. Kind of brings back some memories. Childhood memories.
Please do not. please, for the love of all that is holy and unholy, do not roleplay Tess and Hardin.
No, I can't. No, I just threw up again. Stop it.
Would you rather have sex in your office on your second day of work or have sex during your boyfriend's father's wedding? Not during the actual ceremony. You have gone to a different room. I will caveat that. There is just some privacy and no class.
I guess that's what I'm going to go with. I feel like a wedding is maybe a little bit more romantic than than your cold gray office with a window that you're gonna get slammed up against? That scene was rough. It's like flipping her around and throwing her up on the desk and throwing
That's
her up against the window.
That's because he was trying to assert his dominance over her because he was threatened by the other guy that she didn't flirt with. She just said hello to.
Ugh.
I'm going to agree with you because I think it's a stereotype to have sex at a wedding and it's expected. So, and it means I won't lose my job and have a sweaty butt mark on my nice shiny new desk.
Okay. Next question. Would you rather?
This is going to take a while. Yes!
Would you rather feel orgasms in your tight stomach or in your straight legs?
I'm going to say a tight stomach because then it might actually validate me having some stomach muscles. They're in there somewhere. What about you? Oh.
I just want to say straight legs because it's hilarious. I just imagine like boing. Yes, exactly.
It's like an Acme cartoon.
It really is.
It's what happens when Roger Rabbit and Jessica Rabbit have sex.
It is. Yes, except for it would probably be in Roger Rabbit's ears.
Yes.
It's terrible. Please, no. That's what I'm going with, though. The straight legs. It's the most ridiculous fucking thing I've ever read in my life. And I feel like I need to experience it.
You can do it with the role play.
No. I'm pretty sure there's not going to be a cosplay this week. Just so everyone knows, I'll have to dig up something more fun than whatever this is because no.
Oh, we've still got one more.
We do. We have one more.
Would you rather argue angrily about literature or the fray?
We didn't mention but Tessa really loves the fray, which the fray is, they make beautiful music, but they're like, it's her favorite band and she loves them so much, and
I want to know why she didn't like One Direction.
Me too but yeah, they talk about the fray quite a bit. I think there's only one choice here for us, is that we have to angrily argue about literature because that's pretty much all we do. I mean, we're not angry, but
speak for yourself. I'm very angry right now.
Well, yeah, with
the rage is real
with this one, but you know, I gotta say, angrily argue about literature.
Yeah, it's a topic we can
relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very upset that none of my would you rathers from last night made it in.
Well, all of yours that you tried to come up with were just about you being angry. Would you rather read this book again or get 1,000 paper cuts? Like, nobody wants... Nobody wants to read this book again, Claire.
Would you rather read after or have someone slam your hand in a door? Would you rather read after or listen to the Spice Girls for the rest of your life? Sorry, Richard. Would you rather read after or only have limp, soggy chips / french fries? Because, you know, we're international.
Thanks.
For the rest of your life. Would you rather read after or sacrifice several farmyard animals to a dark pagan god to make it go away, be forgotten about forever?
Really? Just all of these things, I would do any of them.
Would you rather read after or never get a birthday present again?
Well, now...
Which is appropriate given Bad Book Birthday.
Because it is my birthday. I want birthday presents. So I would have to read it again. But I've already read it twice.
I think you...
Please. I don't want to do it again.
You've paid your dues. Penance has been paid. You are released from this evil pact.
Good.
You can go forth into the light.
Good.
And on that note...
I had a terrible idea.
I'm genuinely worried.
Do you think we should dust off the old game?
Can we clarify the rules this time?
What rules?
If it's for life or not.
Yeah, we probably should. Okay. Marry, fuck, kill, Claire. Let's see.
Can I play murder, death, kill?
No, you can't play murder, death, kill.
That's the Demolition Man version. Unless you have three seashells. I like the Demolition Man version.
Me too. But only if there's seashells involved.
Can we clarify?
And Taco Bell. It's exquisite, Taco Bell is.
I've never had a Taco Bell.
It's elegant, and you wear your ball gowns when you go to there.
Yeah. If I go to a Taco Bell, I will have to go full ball gown. It will have to happen. I nearly went to a Taco Bell in New York once, which was... next to that payphone which had the porn VHS videos in, I told you about once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we never went in. We went to a Chipotle instead. We do now have Taco Bells in this country. In the past few years they have come up, but I've never been in a Taco Bell. But I don't have a ball gown. I need to get a ball gown before I go
in.
You
need to get a ball gown.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So who do I want to ask you about? Would you be opposed to answering this question about males and or females?
It's all right. I was going to first ask you about Molly and Steph and them, so, and Tessa. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. Let's go with... I'm going to make it a little bit... Well,
juicy.
No.
See.
I feel like I... don't want to include Harden because
he would instantly be killed.
Yes. So I will say Noah, Landon, or Zed.
Noah, Landon, Zed. Marry Landon, because I think there would be actual conversation and communication and affection in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Zed.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Kill Noah.
Because there's nothing wrong with killing a cardigan.
Yeah, I mean, he's an inanimate object. He is the personification of a wet blanket in cardigan form. So, I mean, it's probably a kindness.
Yeah, that's what I would say too. That one was not so difficult. Can you think of any?
Would you rather MFK Molly, take a shot, Steph, the publishing house secretary?
I'm gonna kill Molly because she's just a shitbag. Probably marry the secretary?
Yeah.
I feel like she's a more decent human being.
She was one of the only decent human beings in the entire thing.
Yeah. And so I guess that leaves fucking Steph.
She would be good, the sack, I think.
I mean, I think she's interesting. And she's not a terrible person. I mean, no. Granted, she probably should have told Tessa what was going on, but really, they're not friends. They're roommates. They don't know each other that well.
No.
So, but she did, she was at least nice to Tessa, so
I think never, that's what I'm gonna go with. Hung around, you know, with anybody to develop any kind of friendship.
No. I think that could be friends with Steph. Yeah. If you actually spent any time with her.
Yeah. I agree. I'm sorry.
Okay. Jeez. Okay. Favorite final thought quote? Favorite final thought quote time? I don't even know. I don't have words. Do you have anything? Because I gotta tell you, mine are not serious.
Neither am I. Because there was literally nothing in the entire book that could be considered serious. I did do a Google search and checked like the Goodreads quotes just to see what was in there. And every single one I just kind of shuddered.
So what did you shudder about?
Well, I couldn't use any of them. No. So I did the ones I actually had to pause and write down myself.
Okay.
Tessa says, "One step closer to becoming a woman."
You've already mentioned this once, so I know that it's your favorite.
Harden. In a deadpan voice.
No, not his follow-up, please, no.
With his penis hanging out.
No, please, no. His length.
His length.
His length is on display.
I have never come like that before. Deadpan.
Good.
Deadpan. Good. It is so not funny.
Good.
What about you? What about you? What about you? Quotes. Did you pluck anything of any significance?
No.
Yeah.
No, but there is a great one that has become a joke on book groups on social media.
It's one of two or three things I think I've seen. I think I know where you're going.
I let out a breath I didn't know I was holding.
God, I hate that line.
That's how you know you're reading a trashy YA book.
That's awful.
But I've got another one.
Okay.
I've got another one.
And see.
I've got to prepare myself because I have to get through this sentence without crying.
Pretend you're auditioning. I'm your audition. I am the producer of an audiobook. I have this bestseller I need to make.
I don't think I would audition for this audiobook, Claire.
You have to. It's life or death.
My legs stiffen, and I mutter his name repeatedly while I come undone. She comes undone. So many times throughout the text. As I come undone. Because I don't think she can say that she comes.
No. And note to self, I think that might be your blog picture right there. Because that was beautiful.
Thank you. My legs are so stiff right now. Stiff legs. Okay. If you liked this, try it.
I forgot to do this bit.
Literally read anything else.
Yeah. Do you know what? This is how bad I'm feeling about this right now. I'm just going to turn around and get something off my bookshelf.
Okay. I found something. I haven't read this book specifically, but I have read other books by this author, and she includes some very racy things in her books, but they're so much better written than this.
So much better written. That's good English.
It is. It really is. I'm good at saying words. Even the book series featuring the half gargoyle is better than this by this author. She writes a book where there's a half gargoyle person. Wait for You by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Some things are worth waiting for. Traveling thousands of miles from home to enter college is the only way 19-year-old Avery Morganston can escape what happened at the Halloween party 5 years ago, an event that forever changed her life. All she needs to do is make it to her classes on time, make sure the bracelet on her left wrist stays in place, not draw any attention to herself, and maybe, please God, make a few friends, because surely that would be a nice change of pace. The one thing she didn't need and never planned on was capturing the attention of the one guy who could shatter the precarious future she's building for herself. Sounds like it's along the same lines. Going to college for the first time, meeting a hunky stud. Probably it's better written.
Yeah. I just turned around and plucked something off my bookshelf.
Yeah. Is it a phone book? Is it
a user guide? Is it an IKEA manual? Yes.
Okay.
Dead Until Dark by Charlotte.
Oh, that's a great one. There's lots of
naughty scenes, but the words are accurate. What happens is anatomically correct.
There are no stiff legs.
There are,
but for a different reason.
Well, yeah. Summary, as per the book. The actual book. Welcome to Barn Town. It's your average sleepy backwater town. You know the kind of place? Dime store, trailer park, a diner, and a gang of newly out of the coffin undead. Suki Stackhouse is a small-time cocktail waitress in a small-time Louisiana. She's quiet, keeps to herself, doesn't get out much. Not because she's not pretty, she is. It's just that, well, Suki has a sort of disability. She can read minds, and that doesn't make her too dateable. But then along comes Bill. He's tall, dark, handsome. And Suki can't hear a word he's thinking. He's exactly the type of guy she's been waiting for all her life. But Bill has a problem of his own. He's a vampire. With a bad reputation. He hangs with a seriously creepy crowd. All suspected of, big surprise, murder! And when one of Suki's co-workers is killed, she fears she's the next. Now, I have literally just plucked that off my bookshelf. However, certain themes that are in After can be plucked and applied to this. You know, it's a young girl, she's inexperienced, potential bad relationship. He is a bad boy. I mean, he's not tattooed or anything like that.
Well, that just means that he's not bad, because only tattooed and pierced people can be bad.
I mean, he is a vampire, so that wouldn't be a bad thing. The actor who played him in the TV show was British. Tenuous. We'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Judgy McJudgesons going on.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty hot sex scenes.
Not in the first one. It's
no,
much better.
No, it takes a while.
We just need Vampire Eric to show up.
Oh, I remember when Vampire Eric came up, and all the little girls, we were reading, me and a couple of other friends were reading at the same time. Woohoo! Yeah. I miss the Suki Stackhouse books.
I know, I want to reread them.
So do I. Should we do them on the show?
We could.
They're not YA.
They're new adult, I would really say. Because Suki starts out, she's what, 24?
If that.
20, maybe?
Maybe 21, even.
She's not very old.
No. I think we should cover them.
I think we should too.
Plus, we do love a vampire book.
We do. Okay. That's it for this episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss One of Us is Lying by Karen McManus. Look out for the Would You Rather poll to go along with that book on social media, and our new book club discussion that we're going to have about it.
Yes!
Join us for that. Woohoo! Don't forget about our book club and monthly challenges on Facebook. Be sure to visit our shop on Redbubble at fictionalhangover.redbubble.com for all your favorite fictional hangover themed merchandise. And now become a patron of ours on Patreon at patreon.com/fictionalhangover or support us on Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/fictionalhangover. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangover, no ER. If you'd like this episode, check out our others and rate, review and subscribe so you don't miss out. And finally, special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and Patreon. Thanks for listening.